for the privilege of coming and joining you at the table. We thank you for communion Sabbath. We thank you for your great sacrifice for each of us. And we show the Lord's death till he comes. Come, Lord Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen. This has nothing to do what I'm going to share with you with communion, but it's an experience that I had yesterday. I shared it with my Sabbath school class. I am taking a class from Cal State San Marcos. It's a leadership class. It's in conjunction with my other work. There's a group of us. We have a class project to do. And we've been trying to work out a time to get together to present the project. And I shared with one of the project leaders that Saturday was not a good time when we have the group come together. I have a service, two services on Sabbath, on Saturday, I said. And when I said that, the individual said nothing to me. But later on during the day, at the end of the day, as the class was getting ready to close, we talked again about meeting, and he said, well, I'd like to email everyone, so I gave him one of my cards, and I said, my email is on the bottom of the card. And, of course, my card says Seventh-day Advent, Fallbrook Seventh-day Adventist Church, and it tells who I am. And when I gave him my card, he said, Seventh-day Adventist. He said, I grew up Seventh-day Adventist. He said, I should have stayed a Seventh-day Adventist. You just never know. I didn't know he grew up Seventh-day Adventist. I did not have a clue. I'm glad I was behaving in class. Amen? He was probably watching me. You know, we've been in the class since September. He's probably been watching me. I've been okay, all right? Haven't done anything to embarrass the church, but you just never know. And so I'm praying, if he said that, that the Lord's going to open up another door so I can invite him to my church, amen? So I'm praying for that. I believe the Lord is gathering up people these last days. I want to share just a minute, and then we'll commune together. We're about to share communion together. I have a couple of questions. If you couldn't have communion anymore for various reasons, would it matter to you? You answer that internally. Would it matter to you? Should it matter? Over the years, what our church traditionally does is we have communion once a quarter, and the minister usually uses the same text, 1 Corinthians chapter 11, Matthew chapter 26, and Mark 14, and Luke chapter 22. That's where the service comes from in the scriptures, and we usually talk on that. But I wonder, does it matter to us? If for some reason we decided that we were going to, communion was just too much of a bother, you know, to get the water together for the foot washing and to put the table together. It was too much trouble. We were going to just not have communion anymore. Would it really matter? And, you know, I think that for some of us, it wouldn't matter. And that's disturbing. If we probably asked that of some other church faith, they would not say that. Communion is very sacred and important to them. But I pray that we do not lose the importance of communion. Amen? What was happening during that time? Let me share with you for a moment. There were 13 bearded men. They were probably bearded. That's right, in those days. Traditionally, they wore beards. It was the last opportunity for them to get together, to be intimate, to have that intimate conversation. It should have been a happy time. The evil ones were not there. No Pharisees, no Sadducees, just the boys, the disciples. Should have been a good time, wouldn't you think? It should have been a meaningful and inspirational time. But guess what they were doing? I want you to see this one passage. It's in Luke, the 22nd chapter. Let you see this so you'll know that it is from the Bible, and this is exactly what they were doing. Luke, the 22nd chapter. And verse 24. Now there was also a dispute among them. Luke 22, verse 24. As to which of them should be considered the greatest. Isn't that tragic? The last opportunity to get together. And they are arguing about who is the greatest in the kingdom. That's troubling. Jesus had shared with them that he was about to be crucified. They forgot his words. They were jockeying for places of honor. The place of honor was on the right side. And if you couldn't get the right side, you'd get closest by getting on the left. It's the closest you could get to him. Guess who ended up on the right side? Judas. He was in the place of honor. The person with less honor than anyone at the table was in the place of honor. So what does Jesus do? John 13, if you would turn there just quickly, John 13. And we'll John 13, now before the feast of Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come, that he should depart from the world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. And supper being ended, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he had come from God and was going to God, rose from supper, laid aside his garment, took a towel, and girded himself. And after that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel which he was girded. Did you see what Jesus did? They're jockeying for position, arguing. Jesus gets a basin of water and a towel and girds himself and goes and starts washing their feet. He took the role of a servant. They're worrying about being the greatest. He took the role of being a servant. In fact, it wasn't just an ordinary servant. When you read some commentaries, they said he took the position of a slave. I don't know if you've ever... I've been to some countries. I won't tell you where because I don't want to embarrass, and you might be from that country. I'm not sure. But I've been to a couple of countries where the citizens will not do any work at all that they consider menial. In fact, they hire out. In fact, they bring people from another country, many of them, to do almost everything for them. It is beneath them to do a number of things. I've been to places like that. And those who are in that position are not always treated with respect and love. Jesus takes the position, not just as a servant, but the position as a foreign slave. Why would he do this? What is he trying? Is there a message here for us? I think there is a message for us. I think it's related to communion. There is a story by Max Lucado. Some of you are familiar with his writings. He's written a book entitled The Savior Next Door. It's a few years old. It's about 3 years old. But I'm just reading it now. But he talks about after 9/11. The president summoned a group of clergy to come to the White House to pray. And that's a good thing. And they had ministers from all backgrounds and faith groups, and Muslims and Jews and, of course, Christian clergy. And being among all of the clergy, and they were high-powered, big-named ministers, he felt like a minnow in a whale's world. That was his way of describing it. And so, as it was his time to meet the president, it was George Bush, of course, you know that, he gave his name and shared where he was from. And he said, "Mr. President, I'm from Andrews, Texas." The president's eyes lit up. Well, Andrews was just a short distance from Midland, Texas. And so, the president shared and said, "I've been to your town. In fact, I've walked the streets of Andrews." I mean, he just lit up and let down his guard, and he says, "I played golf in your town." And they shared the bond of being in the same area. You know how the president, he can go into the Texas drawl if he has to, and he did, because he was feeling comfortable. You know, it's nice to know that God knows us that well, that He's walked some of the same streets that we have walked. I believe that in the communion message, and why we do not want to forget communion, and why we, when we hear about communion, and you're here, I'm not fussing at you, you're here, that we ought to be glad to come. Why? Because God has invited us to come to His table. That's the same God that has walked the streets with us all week. You see, last week we talked about a very big God as we explored the universe. But you know God is right down here where we are. I don't want you to forget that fact. Not only is He a big God, and He is God, but He was God and man. He walked. Do you know God walked the street with me last week? Everywhere I went. In fact, when I found myself in certain situations, I could just talk to Him right then and there. I know you've had that same experience, haven't you? Haven't you talked to God last week or this past week for some reason? I have. Because I've met some of you on the highway. And I've had to talk to God, all right? Because the average speed is 90, and I'm only doing 75. Amen? And they almost run me over all the time. So I've had to talk to God and say, "Lord, get me home, please." Amen? God has invited us to His table. I want you to know that God wants you at His table. And if you're not there, God misses you. Did you know that? Do you know God would miss you if you weren't at His table? Do you know that, Dan? I know you know that. I know the Brownlows know that. We'd miss you. So I know God would miss you if you weren't at His table. Never separate yourself from God's table. Amen? That's a sort of a humanist. I know we don't see Him here like, you know, but He's here. He's here at the table. It's an important time for us to come together and share with Him. I'll say it now, and I was going to say it at the table, but I'll say it now, and I won't have to say it. There's a passage in Matthew, and there's a passage in Luke that says, I will not drink with you until I drink anew with you in the kingdom. And I share that with you, and that's why you'll see the big cup on the table. That's Jesus' cup, and He's promised to drink with us in the kingdom. I interpret that, and I still will, as a very positive statement. But when you read Desire of Ages, you know that Jesus said that with a sadness in His voice. I don't usually give it that way because I don't want to interpret it that way, so I'll still use it. But He was sad when He said that. You know why He was sad, Danny? Because there were some people that He knew that were not going to be there. I don't know about you, but I want to be there with Him. How about you? When we have communion, it's an opportunity for you to make up in your mind once again that I am going to be with Jesus at His table. Amen? And if by chance you are dismissing yourself from His table now, can you see what we're doing? How did Jesus react to His disciples and their arguing? And they eventually, Jesus predicted this. He said that some of you won't even be around here when I go through what I'm going through. How did Jesus react? Did Jesus desert them? Does Jesus desert us? No. Never. Does it feel like that sometimes? It may. But I want to let you know, Jesus will never, ever desert you. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. How do I know? He died on the cross for me. Amen? That's proof enough. I thank you. I thank you, Fallbrook Church. Do you see how many people are here? Dan, do you see how many people are here? On Communion Sabbath. That's the Sabbath you go to another church if you hear this communion's coming up. Y'all know that, isn't that right? Y'all know the history. You hear about communion, so you go and go someplace else, but not here at Fallbrook. You're here. That really speaks volumes about your spirituality and where you are. Amen? So I want to applaud you and let you know as a minister how much I appreciate you being here. Amen? We're going to separate and we're going to wash one another's feet. Let me share with you. If by chance, I think everybody looks like we look familiar. I think everybody here is probably familiar. But if by chance you're a guest, you've not seen that before, I want to let you know that you can come and join us and be a part of us. And if you've not done that before, participate. You kind of see what we're doing. And we wash one another's feet. If you're not comfortable and you weren't prepared, just remain here. We'll be right back in. We'll all come together and we will join at the table. Is that all right? If by chance you're, again, I think we're all family, but if you're from another faith, we have open communion. Amen? We would not exclude anyone from our table that desires to partake. So we invite you to stay and join us, just as we're going to do when we get into the kingdom. Amen? That's what we invite you to do. So let's pray, and then we're going to separate, and then we're going to come back. Lord, we thank you for the opportunity to meet you in this capacity at your table. You are the God that walks with us all week long. And Lord, you have protected us from some real scrapes. Some of us didn't even have any idea how close we were to accidents and tragedies, but you were there. The angels were surrounding us and guarding us, and we thank you. So, Lord, we are right here. We're right here at the table. We thank you, Lord, for this time that we can have a unique service in the life of the church. It's important. We don't want to ever forget it, because we don't want to ever forget you, and we don't want to forget that one day we're going to drink with you in the kingdom of God. Lord, don't let any of us be absent from that. In Jesus' name, amen.